This evening, we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, text number 11. Yeyatamam prapadyante. Yeyatamam prapadyante. Tanstataiva bhajamyaham. Tanstataiva bhajamyaham. Mamavartmanuvartante. Manushya partha sarvashaha. Manushya partha sarvashaha. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. O son of Pritha, everyone please repeat responsively. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. O son of Pritha. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Everyone is searching for Krishna in the different aspects of his manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahma Jyoti effulgence and as the all-pervading Supersoul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. So Prabhupada is stating here that everyone is searching for Krishna. Krishna means the all-attractive person or the highest pleasure, Rama. So everyone is actually searching for the highest pleasure, but they're looking in different ways. And transcendentalists, ultimately Krishna is adhoksaja. Krishna is transcendental to this material world. Therefore, if you're looking for water in the desert, there is water, but you're looking in the wrong place. And similarly, happiness or pleasure or Krishna is available to everyone, but we have to look in the right place. And transcendentalists, Vedanti tat tat vidas tatam yajnanam adyam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. There are three kinds of transcendentalists: those who realize Krishna as Brahman, those who realize Krishna as Paramatma, within every atom, within the heart of every living being, and those who realize Krishna as Bhagavan, the possessor of all bhaga. Bhagavan means sad aishwarya purna, one who possesses all opulences in completeness. He is called Bhagavan. And swayam Bhagavan is Sri Krishna. He is sad aishwarya purna. So everyone is looking for Krishna, but he is fully realized only by his pure devotees. And this is stated everywhere throughout the Vedic literatures, especially in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and in various Puranas. But more or less the same thing is repeated in different ways throughout all the Vedic scriptures, that one can achieve the highest absolute truth only by pure, loving, devotional service. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in the transcendental attitude, just as the devotee wants him. One may want Krishna as the Supreme Master, another as his personal friend, another as his son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally according to their different intensities of love for him. So, the material world in which we are living, it is a perverted reflection of the absolute world. Whatever we are endeavoring for and experiencing here in this day-to-day life, it is all temporary. Nothing will last, and it is therefore not real. It is not substantial. It will not last. Therefore, it is something like a dream. It is something like a dream. In a dream, you may do so many things, but you cannot claim anything when you wake up. You may win the Maharashtra lottery in a dream, but when you wake up, you cannot buy a Maruti Esteem because you don't have any money. You cannot go to the dealer and say, I had a dream that I won 1 crore of rupees. And the dealer will say, well, you can also have a dream that you can have an Esteem, but you can't get one from me in reality. So this material world is like that. It is temporary, and therefore it is similar to a dream. Although this material world is real, but it is temporary. But whatever exists here does exist. It does have its origin in the spiritual world. And what is it that satisfies us most in life? Getting a good job, having a big bank account, being very famous, having a lot of prestige. Do these things really satisfy us? Or do these things only satisfy us temporarily in the material world when we have someone else to share them with? When we have friends, when we have family, when we have someone that we love, when we have a master, when we have servants, when we have relationships with people, everything else has meaning. But if we're all alone in the middle of a desert, just imagine, you're all alone, there's no one else, you're in the middle of an island, and you have $1 million. Will you be happy? No. Supposing you have all kinds of nice facilities, but if you have no one else to enjoy it with, it is simply a waste. Therefore, we want relationships. So in the absolute world, these relationships are existing. And Krishna is the center. Krishna says here, yeyatha mam prapadyante. He will reciprocate with you according to how you approach him. If you want him as your master, he will be your master. If you want him as your friend like Arjuna, he will be your friend. If you want him as your child, Krishna will become your child just like Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj. Or like gopis, they wanted God to be their lover. Not in a mundane sense, in a very pure sense. So Krishna reciprocates with his devotees, and that is the beauty of devotional service. Because it allows, or it encourages, is the full development of personality. The Mayavadis, the Brahmavadis, the impersonalists, they want to kill personality. They want to commit suicide. But in bhakti, we approach Krishna in love and devotion, and Krishna reciprocates. If you want to merge into Krishna, you can also do that. There are 5 kinds of liberation, and one of them is merging into Krishna. There is Sarupya, Salokya, Sarsti, Samipya, and Sayujya. Sayujya means merging into the effulgence of the Lord. That is for, devotees will never accept that. They don't want to commit suicide. That is spiritual suicide, to lose your identity, to lose your ability to love, to lose your ability to feel. No, you should flourish in love, but of love of the real, love of the absolute, not love of this temporary material world. So therefore, Krishna is offering us a chance to experience this wonderful process of bhakti yoga. Krishna helps also by absorbing them. Such impersonalists do not agree to accept the eternal blissful personality of Godhead. Consequently, they cannot relish the bliss of transcendental service to the Lord. Having extinguished, just like we had this fire yajna, so at a certain point it was extinguished. That's your individuality, your personality, your individual being, your sense of being, the mayavadis. And believe me, more or less, those today who talk in the name of Hinduism, more or less they're talking about mayavada philosophy, that in the end you merge with God. They may even teach bhajan, they may even teach worship of the deity, but it's just to capture attention. Ultimately, they believe that you become one with God, you become equal to God, you merge with God, you commit spiritual suicide. But this is not for the true devotee. He has no desire even for liberation, whether it be Sayuja Mukti, merging in the body of the Lord, or merging in the effulgence of the Lord, or even if it is Salokya, to live on the same planet, or Sarsti, to have the same opulence of the Lord, Samipya. He has no interest in doing business with God. There are so many businessmen in Bombay. Bombay is a great place to do business. But what happens is, we see this, people can't help it. They come to the temple and all day long they're doing business, business, business. And they come to the temple and they think that they can do business with Krishna also. That I give you this and you give me that. Some temples even teach it. There's a big temple, a very big temple in South India that teaches people. You give this amount of donation, you get this benefit. If you want a son, you have to give 50,000 rupees. If you want a promotion in your job, you have to give so much. You have to do this yajna. If you want this, you have... That is not bhakti. That is not a hoituki bhakti. That is business. It's the same mundane mentality, profit and loss motive. Akama sarvakama va. Whether you are completely free of material desires, or even if you have all material desires, you should take to tivra bhakti, not this business mentality. You should take to pure devotional service. In other words, everyone is dependent for success upon Krishna's mercy alone. And all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. Unless one comes to the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, all attempts remain imperfect. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of all fruitive results or is after liberation, one should, with all efforts, try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection. So now I'm going to tell you something a little surprising. We are here today, and for the last 3 days, we have been worshiping Lord Jagannath. And we have been chanting Jagannath's name. That is the process in Kali Yuga. Kaler dorsha nidhe rajanasti eko mahat gunaha kirtanareva krishnasya mukta sangam param vrajat. One good thing about Kali Yuga, you don't have to be a great ascetic. You don't have to go to the Himalayas. You don't have to give up your family. You don't have to give up your business. You couldn't do it anyway, even if it was demanded of you. But it's not demanded. Stane stitha. You stay in your place, Shastra says. Srimad Bhagavatam says. Stane stitha shruti gatam tanuvan manobir. You stay in your place and you worship Krishna by his holy name. Nama chintamani krishnas. Chaitanya rasa vigraha purna shuddha nitya mukta vinadvam nama namino. There's no difference between Krishna and his holy name. You chant his name, you feel his presence in your life. You feel that Krishna is there with you. He is your friend, your master. The more you chant his name, the more you feel him in actuality, in reality. He's not just a fictitious character. He's not just a Hindu mythology. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Krishna is Jehovah. Krishna is Allah. Krishna is the Supreme Being that all of the saints and saintly persons and in every religion they're talking about one person only. He's known as Krishna. And in this age of Kali, when we're short in our duration of life, we don't live a long time. 50, 60, 70 years, believe me, it goes quickly. It goes so fast. I see a lot of heads shaking, a lot of people agreeing with me. It goes fast. Short duration of life. You don't have much time. You have to give all your attention, somehow or other, from the very beginning. Komara acharet pragyo. From Komara, you should begin the process of bhakti. You don't have to give up other things, but you have to add Krishna from the beginning. So, we're short in our duration of life. We're troubled by bad karma. So many things happening to us. We don't know from moment to moment what disaster may strike next. We may be struck down by a car, or we may be struck down by a gangster's bullet, or anything could happen in Bombay. Or anywhere else in the world. Could be an earthquake or a tidal wave or a storm or this or that. There's so many miseries. And it's dangerous. Padam padam yad vipadam na te sam. At every step, padam padam. There's danger in this material world and we're so fragile. We're proud of this body, big strong body, but a little bug enters our bloodstream and we're flat on our back. We're so fragile, and there's danger at every step. We're troubled by bad karma. We're troubled by poor intelligence to know the truth. Therefore, the process has been made very simple. Kirtanadeva, Krishnasya, Mukta Sangam Param Vrajet. But foolish people, they won't take it. They're so foolish that if it's a simple process, they reject it. Just like, if you take a basket of langara, mangoes, in Bengal they have langara, mango, very sweet. Here you have apus, mangoes, the meat is very nice. But in Bengal the langara mango, the juice is very sweet. You take a big basket of mangoes and you go door to door. You just won that lottery and you want to do something for people. So you take 10 baskets and you want to give everybody mangoes. You know, Happy New Year. Please take mango. I'm giving free mangoes. Take. People will, they'll say, why are you giving free? You put some poison in it. I won't take. Lord Chaitanya is giving Krishna Prema. Namo Mahabhadam Nyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. He's giving freely love of God by through the holy name of Krishna. Krishna is giving himself. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. All of your Shakti you have imbued in your holy name, but still people won't take it. They're so foolish. But even if they do take it, Krishna Bhakti is the easiest. It is the easiest, but it's not so easy. Just like Jagannath. Here we're saying, ye yata mam prapadyante. As you approach Krishna, he will reward you. So, we're saying, you chant Jai Jagannath. But, try to understand that there is quality in chanting. It is said in the Shastras, in the Puranas, Namno hi balati shakti papa nirharane hare pavakartun nashaknoti patakam pataki naraha. That if you chant the holy name of the Lord once, purely, it can clean more sin, more pop, than you can possibly commit. In millions of lifetimes, you can get a huge stockpile of sin. Because we do so many things we don't know. We're stepping on ants. We're eating food that's maybe sinful. We're doing so many things, lifetime after lifetime. You can get a huge stockpile, a huge warehouse of sin. But if you chant Krishna's name purely, all that sin is cleansed. But notice, I said purely. There's degree in chanting. So similarly, when we chant this Jagannath name, if we are thinking that Jagannath is simply the Lord of the universe, that he's the master of the universe, we're worshiping him in awe and reverence. And that worship will qualify us for liberation, for mukti. But it will not qualify us to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, to the highest abode of the Lord. There are various names of Krishna, like Damodar and Keshava and Hari. And these are Brajarasa names. But this name Jagannath, if we're thinking, simply we're thinking Lord of the universe, this is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur described this as Gona Nam, or secondary. It's actually a secondary name. It's the name of Krishna, but it's secondary, because it leads you to piety, it leads you to mukti, to liberation. But if you want that highest mellow of love of Krishna, then you have to think of Brajendra Nandana Krishna while chanting Jagannath's name, because actually Jagannath is Brajendra Nandana Krishna, and the whole Ratha Yatra is about the Lord going back from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan to be with Radharani. That's the whole mood. So we actually have to be careful while we are chanting. We have to avoid the 10 offenses, and we also have to have the right mood of worshiping the Lord. Therefore it is said here, Yeyathamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham. As you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. So Krishna Bhakti is a great science. And this festival of Ratha Yatra is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for everybody to either begin, continue, or graduate in the process of going back home, back to Godhead. Just seeing Lord Jagannath coming out on his chariot. He's so ecstatic. He's dancing on his cart. All the devotees are dancing in the street in ecstasy. It's such a scene, especially in New York City going down Fifth Avenue. You can't imagine what it is like for Americans to see this festival of Jagannath, to see the giant deities of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra on their cart, and huge 30-foot, 40-foot chariots going down Fifth Avenue. And Americans just don't know what to think. This beautiful deity with big, beautiful eyes, red eyes, and black body, and they think, what is this? And it's so powerful, it goes deep into their consciousness. So this festival is so nice. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in 1934, he made a kind of prediction. He was at Alalanath, which is a temple near Puri. And he was residing there for some time. And he said that we should take Jagannath in a flower airplane to London and to all the cities of the world. He said, otherwise there is no hope for people in this Kali Yuga to get any piety. So Srila Prabhupada did that. He actually took Jagannath all over the world in 1967. He started this Ratha Yatra festival in San Francisco. It started in a small way, but Prabhupada started it because he knew Jagannath had his own plan how to spread his glories all over the world. Even if it was the back of a truck. Just like you see sometimes here in India, they have festivals and they'll take a truck. And I know in Bengal during Durga Puja or in Ganesh Utsav, they take a truck and put a deity in the back of a truck. So this is the same thing, only it was one truck, a flatbed truck. And Prabhupada had small deities, not so big like this, but half this size. And they were carved by one Western devotee. And on the back of the truck, he took, and thousands of young boys and girls, American boys and girls, followed the procession through Golden Gate Park. And gradually it grew and it grew and grew. The festival is very, very old. It goes back thousands of years. Jagannath, the first temple of Jagannath in this millennium, was established over 1,000,000 years ago, according to the Skanda Purana. It was established, the worship of Lord Jagannath. Even Jagannath is mentioned in the Ramayana. There are many Rama Bhaktas in Bombay. You'll be surprised to know in the Uttarakhanda, Lord Ramchandra, he calls Vibhishan at the end and he says, I have one last thing to tell you. Just worship Jagannath, who is the Lord of the Ikshvaku dynasty. That verse is there in the Ramayana. So worship of Lord Jagannath is very, very auspicious. And of course you all know the story. There are many different stories, but the one most relevant to our Manu is about Indradyumna and how he was looking for Vishnu. He was directed to Nila Madhava. Nila Madhava was being worshipped by a Shabara or a pig farmer. He was the king, not an ordinary pig farmer. He was the king of the pig farmers. And so Indradyumna, King Indradyumna, the king of Orissa, he was very anxious to see that deity, but somehow the Shabara king was so attached that he stole the deity away, and Indradyumna couldn't see. Then the Lord appeared to Indradyumna in a dream and said that I will not be seen by you as Nila Madhava, but I will come in the ocean in a block of wood and you carve deities. Actually he said, first of all, you make a temple for me. First of all, you make a temple, which Indradyumna did in Nila Hill in Puri. It's known as Nilachala. And he made a wonderful temple there, and then he wanted Lord Brahma to inaugurate the temple. That's a whole story. Finally, he had no deity, and he was instructed to carve the deity from wood. So he got the best architect, of course, Vishwakarma. And Vishwakarma agreed to do the work, but he said, you should not disturb me. So Indradyumna agreed, but he was quite excited to see Jagannath. And after a few weeks when the work had not been finished and he couldn't hear anything inside the room where Jagannath was being carved, he couldn't contain himself, so he opened the door. Vishwakarma was upset. He just left the place, and unfinished deities were there. So again, Indradyumna was very much in distress, but then Narad Muni appeared to him and said, don't worry, Lord Krishna actually wants to be worshipped in this form. There are many other nice stories about Jagannath, about his appearance. I'm sure you've heard many of them before. More or less, the essential thing that we require to worship the Lord through His holy name is humility. The crest jewel of all Vaishnav qualities is namrata, or humility. And there are so many stories about Jagannath and his devotees. One story comes to mind of one businessman. This was sometime in the early 1400s. It's a long time ago. About 600 years ago. So there was one man from Hyderabad. He was a great businessman. I think he was Gujarati. His name was Dhananjaya Mehta. Sounds Gujarati. And he was very wealthy. He was certainly Dhananjaya. So he had come to Puri with his family on vacation. Although he was an atheist, but still he accompanied his family to Puri. So while he was there, he wanted to challenge the people's worship. People cannot understand how we are worshiping God in the form of wood, or in the form of stone, or in the form of metal. For non-devotees, this is inconceivable, and they ridicule us, they criticize us. So this Dhananjaya Mehta, he didn't believe in God, so he challenged openly, he made an offering to the pujaris. At that time, they had three major offerings, many smaller offerings, but three major bhoga offerings. So he said, I will give 100,000 rupees if the cooks at the Jagannath temple can use it all in one offering. Thought he was very smart. Because at that time, you can imagine 600 years ago, to gather all the fruits and vegetables and everything for one offering, 100 rupees was completely sufficient. And 1,000 rupees was way too much. So the pujaris and the cooks became very distressed. How could they ever spend 100,000 rupees for one offering? And they were embarrassed because they didn't know what to do. They said, if we go to Dhananjaya Mehta and tell him give less, that would be a disgrace. The Lord of the universe, Jagannath, he can obviously accept any amount of food, any number of preparations, but they just couldn't conceive how they could use more than maybe 1,000 rupees. They thought the most expensive thing is butter. So if we make sweets made from coconut and butter, maybe we can stretch it to 10,000 rupees. So in this way, they were feeling very discouraged. So they were thinking, finally the head pujari, the head priest, he thought the only thing that we can do is to ask Jagannath what he wants for an offering. The whole while, Dhananjaya Mehta had made everybody in Puri aware that he had this offering. He was offering 100,000 rupees. He publicized it everywhere. But he was getting tired. He wanted to go back to Hyderabad and start doing business again. So anyway, the head priest and the pujaris, they went to Jagannath and they offered a prayer to him, O Lord, what do you want? And then the priest told Dhananjaya Mehta that we have asked the Lord what he wants, so please wait a little longer. So that night, Jagannath actually appeared to the head priest and he said, I want one piece of pan. 100,000 rupees for one piece of pan. Even today, pan costs 50 paisa or something. I don't know. We don't chew pan. But it's not expensive. In those days, you can imagine. But here Jagannath was telling the priest, I only want one piece of pan. So, but he made a stipulation that instead of smearing the betel, which is wrapped in the pan leaf, instead of smearing it with lime, I want it to be smeared with pearl paste. You make pearl paste, crush pearls and make a paste, and that pearl should be taken from the forehead of a bull elephant. So then the priest was ecstatic, and he went to Dhananjaya Mehta, and he said, isn't that wonderful? Jagannath only wants one piece of pan. You only have to offer him one piece of pan, but you have to smear the betel in pearl cream made from pearl, a pearl that's taken from the forehead of a bull elephant. And then Dhananjaya Mehta's jaw dropped. He was shocked. Jagannath had actually defeated him, because he thought one elephant, dead or alive, costs at least 100,000 rupees. And it's very rare to find in the forehead of an elephant a pearl. So it will cost me unlimited, maybe 1 in a million bull elephants will have this pearl. And then Dhananjaya Mehta, he took off his turban, he took off his chapels, and he went running to the temple, crying. He said, I have been defeated, I was a proud materialist, and the Lord has defeated me. And he threw himself on the floor of the temple in front of Jagannath. And he said, oh Lord, you are so kind to this foolish, ignorant person. Please, I have nothing to offer you. I cannot even offer you one piece of pawn. I'm so wretched. So you please accept this 100,000 rupees, and you please accept the red betel of my heart. And in that way, Jagannath was teaching his devotees that he does not like pride. So we have to worship the Lord according to how He wants us to worship Him. We have to worship the Lord in the right mood, in humility, and we should know that in whatever way we approach Krishna, He will reciprocate with us. Yeyatamam prapadyante tangstathaiva bhajami aham. Many times people tell me they have no time for devotional service, and I laugh, because just think how stupid. Just think how foolish that statement is. There's 24 hours in a day. Someone is doing bhakti, and someone is not doing bhakti. The person who is not is saying, I don't have enough time, but both people only have 24 hours. That's not that the person who's doing bhakti has 26 hours, and in those extra 2 hours he's doing bhakti. No, he's made it a priority in his life. That's all. So, if you give Krishna, if you want to know the absolute truth, adhoksaja, if you want the highest happiness, you have to be prepared to pay some kind of price. You have to give your time. Tatra lolyam api ekalam mulyam. So, we hope that all of you will benefit from this festival. As I said earlier, it is a wonderful festival for everybody, the masses of people, everybody. We are taking this festival to every town and village so that you don't have to go to Puri to see Jagannath. In fact, we can't even go into the temple. What happened when Lord Brahma was called by Indradyumna to inaugurate the temple? He actually said, I can't do it. I am not qualified to inaugurate or sanctify this temple. But what I will do is I'll put a flag. And he put a flag on top of the Jagannath temple, which is still there today. They have the same, it's not the same flag, but it's a flag. Lord Brahma said, anybody who sees this flag and offers his obeisances will achieve Lord Jagannath's mercy. So, that's the best we can do. We can't enter into the temple as Malechas, as Westerners. But we're taking Jagannath all over the world, and people are enjoying this festival very much. So, please do your best, somehow or other, in this lifetime, to surrender to Krishna. Please try to bring out your faith and your devotion. Jagannath has come to you. Don't be shy. Don't hold back. And you will see you'll never be the loser. You will never be sorry. Hare Krishna. Jagannath Swami Ki.